radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. Good morning, everybody. I am Rebecca.
I'm Robin. Hello.
And I'm Salo.
And we have sort of an interesting and topical kind of discussion today to do with Halloween that's coming up. Is it next week? Next week?
Next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm trying to say is it next weekend, but I don't think it's a weekend. Yeah, but about sort of from like a feminist framework, I guess, about costumes at Halloween and how there's a heteronormative kind of gendered, I want to say framework again to the costumes, lack of a better word. And whether costumes can be seen as like empowering or objectifying, that's kind of a question I've been toying with for the past day. But if we start with a song, I think we should start with one of Robin's songs, one of your witchy songs.
Well, because it is the season of the witch. And there's some great music out there that are, you know, female fronted, and they're really singing to the empowerment, I think, of what it means to, you know, stand in our sovereignty as women and, you know, have all of the intuitive knowing and self-knowing and autonomy that we are born with as our natural birthright. And so those are the kinds of things that I was, thinking in terms of bringing songs today. And these bands or these women are witchy in that way to me. I think we'll start, if you listen to my radio show on Fridays, Roots and Berries, you'll know that bluegrass and old-time music is something that I do have a love for. And this band, called Harpeth Rising, sings witchy bluegrass songs. And we're going to start with a track called I Did Not Make the World, right here on Intravenous.
You just don't get my soul. You have every right to fear me. I do not even know myself. Can't tell my friends from enemies down here at the bottom of the wishing well, where the demons conduct the laughter, while the sorrows rule the night. Down here I am stranded, and you are up there in the light.
Thank you.
a child like you, my friend. I did not make the world. They showed me kindness was a weakness that must be crushed at every turn. A real man takes what he desires. The meek will get what they deserve. And love is just another con game. And trust is fine if you're a fool. There's always someone else to take the blame. And losers are all born to lose. You can banish all the sunshine. You can overrule the rain. You can exile my tomorrows. You can even disappear my name. You can erase the moonlight lying quiet on a country road. Make an outlaw my body, but you just don't get my soul.
And welcome back to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was the song I Did Not Make the World by Harpeth Rising, with a sort of witchy vibe for the Halloween topic that we have today. Not sure quite where to start with it, but maybe just jumping right in on Halloween costumes. Yeah. What do you think, just like generally, about like Halloween costumes, both female, male?
I mean, I feel like lately I've been only having to like DIY them. Like I was telling you before the show started, like my boyfriend and I were trying to do like custom, like couples costumes, but we couldn't find like anything. And he went to, he was like, oh yeah, I don't think we can find anything in stores. And then I was like, yeah, I know, it's like all lingerie for women. Like, if I wanted this, I would like go and like to a clothes or like buy lingerie for myself. It's going to be cheaper. Yeah. It's going to be more comfortable anyways. It's like so hard. Like, even if you want to like dress up as something scary or something funny, you cannot find anything that like useful in stores, like in Halloween stores.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to buy like bits and pieces and then DIY something together, and like I've gone to five different shops and I've got the components of a costume and then mix it all together if you're going to get something that's not exceedingly exposing.
Yeah. Just get accessories and then like your clothes and that's it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I don't think I've really ever bought a Halloween costume that has come from like a store as just like
a set.
I think I've always sort of, I bought like, I went as like a masquerade person once, so I was like, I found like a black dress in my wardrobe and just put a masquerade mask on and then some fake blood.
Yeah.
Like part of that is like cost efficiency. But I think also it's like I never found anything that I would have felt comfortable going out in public wearing, because you have this narrative in society of sort of like women shouldn't be exposing too much. It's like not deemed appropriate like to be in public, like that. But for some reason on Halloween, when you're meant to be like scary and getting scared and enjoying getting scared, that is an acceptable condition to then sort of like wear what is typically deemed inappropriate.
And the thing is too, like I've been talking this with my friends and sisters too, because they were inviting us to like different like clubs that were like happening on Halloween, and I was like, if I'm gonna dress up like this or like an angel or whatever, I'm gonna go to a house party with my friends. There's like a dinner party with my friends in a closed space in someone's house. I'm not going out like to a club.
Yeah,
like I don't feel comfortable like walking down like Granville Street and then like going into a club.
Yeah,
like dressed like this with like people drinking all around me. Like no, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and I was reading this article that was talking about how it's kind of used as an excuse. I mean, I disagree with this excuse, but it is used as excuses. Like men will say, like women are wearing short skirt, they're kind of asking for it. And then you kind of go into like that with Halloween, and they're like, well, you're wearing lingerie, like what do you expect, type of thing. And I'm like,
it's like, brother, that's our only option. Like, there's nothing else. Like, literally, go to a store.
Go to a Halloween shop and have a little look at the selection of.
Like, is these like the inflatable costumes that you like get in?
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing else.
Yeah. And there was also this interesting, kind of comparison that I saw that said for women, if for Halloween you can either go as funny or you can either go as sexy. Mm-hmm. Like, scary's not even on the list. As when you're thinking Halloween, I'm always thinking like horror movies, scared. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a holiday of just getting scared for people that enjoy that, like, adrenaline and rush. But for women looking for costumes, it's either funny, like you go something really funny, or you go something sexy.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And I was just like, what?
And it's a response you get too, because if you dress up funny, you're like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, oh, you're wearing that. Like, it's not even like you get like compliments on your costume. They're like, oh my God, that's so funny. That's from this movie, blah, blah, blah. Like, even like the response that you get from people, like, push you towards the other option anyways, because you don't feel good when you're like funny because no one is like complimenting you in the right way anyways.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's so, Halloween has become recently so associated with party culture.
Mm-hmm.
And like on Halloween, you go out, you go to a Halloween party or you go to the club and it's like all set up all spooky. And like, just like the expectation on party culture as it is specifically with universities on, like, you have to make sure you're like looking your best going out, like, mm-hmm. looking like as sexy as possible. And then you put that together with Halloween, you're almost like, I feel pushed and pressured that I have to wear some like sexy costume and be exposing everything in order to have a good time. I remember talking to a lot of my friends that were saying they felt that if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have had a good time on the night out, like back home. And I think that's crazy.
Well, that's something like I talk with my friends here too, because like I'm from Argentina, like I was there until I was 18, so I had like some time to go out in there, because like the age limit is like 16, 17, you can already go into a club. But depending on how you're like what you're wearing, they won't let you in. Like, if you get to a door and the bouncer's like, no, I don't like your clothes, you don't get in. Like, it's usually if you're a woman and you're not wearing heels, it's like, no, you can't get in. So like, there's those things too, like if you're not wearing enough makeup, they're like, you don't fit the type of person we want in here. So they won't like let you in, like if you are not dressed in a certain way. And I feel like me and maybe like a lot of international students too, like, come with that like tradition of like, oh, you have to be like really dressed up, having heels, your makeup has to be on point for them to let you into a club. So you like kind of like grow up with like that idea, and then you bring that here too.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it too, for like international students like partying here too.
Yeah, that's a big thing in London, I've heard. Like with London, like clubs and bars and stuff, they have like a dress code for women that you have to fit into it. Like, you have to be wearing a dress and you have to be wearing heels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're instantly like put in a box of like, you have to wear that if you want to get in.
Yeah.
Like,
want to have fun? Okay, dress like this.
Yeah. And then you end up not having fun because you're in heels the whole night. Yeah, you're in pain. Like, yeah, you're not going to end up having fun. But yeah, and I think as well, a lot of my friends have said that they feel this need, like, for Halloween especially, but like kind of generally going out at university, they've started to like feel that their worth is based on how attractive they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is seen like through like how provocatively they dress, because that's how they get the attention from guys on a night out. And I think like when you look at that for Halloween specifically as well, like how provocative is your costume will be like how much attention you get, and then internalizing this idea that that's how much your worth is. And I think it's such a bad idea that's a lot of university students, female students that I've spoken to back home, have said that they didn't feel like this before coming to university. Mm-hmm. It's something, I don't know if it's happening over here as much, but in England, it's this internalization of like what your worth is based on how many guys are attracted to you. It's a worrying thing that's coming, I think, around. I don't know about before, but it's something that we've all noticed, and I've had a lot of conversations with people back home about it, because it affects how they're enjoying university as well when they're thinking like this.
And I think too, like it has to be with uni, and I feel like social media too, in a way that I feel like everything we do during uni has to be a statement. Like, if we dress a certain way, okay, we want to say something with this like dress code. But if we act a certain way, it's because we want to say something. And if we like hang out with certain people, it's because we have this other statement. I feel like there's like that pressure that like everything we do has to be a statement. Everything we post has to reveal who we are, what we believe in, and everything like that's around it. And I think that happens too with the clothes and like partying and going out. Like if you're in uni, oh, you have to party. Mm-hmm. You have to go to this club. You have to dress like this. You have to like talk with these people. And like depending if you do or if you don't, it's like who, like which group you are part of. Like this, like that big statement of like, okay, who I am in uni, who am I gonna be after uni?
Yeah.
So I think that there's that pressure too of like, okay, having the right statement to tell with your clothes and your relationships and everything.
Yeah. And you think as well, you internalize this idea that the more provocatively you dress at uni and like going out has something to do with your worth. When you go into the workplace, you're meant to fit a dress code where you're not dressing provocatively at all.
Yeah.
Like you have to be the most covered up as you're going. And I'm thinking, so if you're internalizing that, how are you measuring your worth when you go into the workplace? Yeah. If you have to be covered up because it's what's work appropriate.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not worthy of the job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worthy to be here.
Like, you don't end up looking at your skills or how qualified you are on in like what the job is actually about.
It's like, yo, you got here. Like, yeah. You deserve this. Like,
I mean, I don't want to speak for men or anything, but I'd be curious to see how men feel in terms of like, did they feel like this pressure of like measuring their worth on like whether they have a six pack or not?
Yeah.
Type of thing, like looking at it, comparing each other that way. Because I know there's when you're looking at sort of like body image and clothing and things, the male view, it doesn't get picked up on a lot. But I've had a couple of friends say to me, it's like, well, I don't like go to the gym all the time and like have big muscles and stuff, but it's not like said on the, it's not mainstream like how female body representation is. So it'd be interesting to see how they feel that their worth is measured on whether they have a six pack or not.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a lot of like with a woman specifically, like just like remember something that happened this week. There's like this pressure on like aging and looking good too. And I was thinking, because I went to the salon this week and like I got offered Botox. And I was like, I'm 26, thanks. Thank you very much. But I was wondering, like, when men go to a barbershop, do they get offered like Botox too? Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I was taken aback. I was like, no, thank you, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for the offer.
My God.
Right? But it was like so weird. And then I was like, wait, like so many people I know that are my age have Botox.
Really?
And I was like, is this how it happens? Like, you just go to, like, get, like, something else, and then, like, just, like, offering things to you so you look better and, like, keep, like, your face young and, like, your skin tight. It's like, is this how it gets started for, like, women? Or, like, how is it?
My God.
Right?
I think both me and Robin are
Robin bit, like, just, like, speechless.
Speechless, but gobsmacked.
Wow. Which is kind of interesting because I went to the salon this week, too, and I had my hair cut. I go to the barber, and they don't get a lot of women in there. And so I was talking to my fellow who was cutting my hair, and I said, you know, it's probably because it's intimidating to walk in, and there's, you know, a row of dudes there waiting, you know. And but anyways, I have lots of gray in my hair, even though it's kind of mousy brown. But he was commenting on the fact that because I didn't color my hair, for instance, it had this beautiful tonality because it's, you know, all of these different colors in there and, you know, being up close to it. But, you know, the pressure, as we're talking about, to conform to these certain standards, right, that don't add up to reality in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, when we're thinking about, you know, Halloween costumes and the things that are available to us in terms of Halloween costumes, one of the things that I thought was really interesting when I was doing a little bit of reading for this show was that generally speaking, costumes for boys are occupational.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can be a firefighter. I can be a doctor. I can be a policeman. I can be a Ghostbuster. I can be an athlete or whatever. And for girls, it's I can be a princess or I can be a cheerleader or I can be a ballerina or, you know, something that's
like a singer
that's sort of frilly and outside of the occupational. And even when girls and boys costumes are like I saw a picture of a boy's police officer costume and a girl's police officer costume, and the boy's police officer costume looked like it would be a cop on the street, right?
Yeah.
You know, dark pants and a dark shirt and a peaked hat, and the girls had this little pleated mini skirt and knee socks and a shirt that didn't tie up with a tie around the neck, but, you know, had a bit of a neckline on it. Mm-hmm. And the hat didn't come down and, you know, kind of
protect your face.
You know, sort of frame. It was meant to frame your face in a more fanned out kind of a way, right? And to sort of bring those features forward, which was another interesting thing that that I noticed in some of the reading was that men's costumes involve a lot more masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read this as well.
And women's don't, right? Because women's beauty, quote unquote, is supposed to sort of trump the we're not supposed to costume our beauty, and show up as a masquerade person in a mask, right? Like it's not. The makeup that we're wearing or the accentuation that we're giving ourselves in terms of the Halloween costumes that we're donning shouldn't take away our beauty, but it should enhance our beauty, right? Mm-hmm. We should be the main event or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too when we were talking about the costume. It's like, for men, they go out for Halloween to get entertained, and women are kind of like the entertainment to a point. Because because of the makeup, because of the costumes, we are kind of like, oh, we are a spectacle here. Mm-hmm. In a way, that's like so much pressure too. Like, let me have my fun. Like, let me just be around and like be with my friends. So, like, we don't have to be like this entertainment, like, after all, like, in a way.
I also found it interesting with what you were saying, Robin, about the men's costumes seem to be more occupational, and that if you look for the female equivalents, there's certain descriptive words placed in front of the like name. It'll be like sexy nurse or like SWAT team, like babe for like a police officer. And there's these like tight fitted, not what you're gonna see on the street in the actual occupation. And I go thinking about that and how that actually affects the representation of the women that actually work in those industries, because you're almost diminishing it as like the female representation of that industry is to like the sexy side.
Yeah, you're sexualizing the career.
Yeah, and you think about like, for example, for like hen do's and like stag do's, bachelorette parties. The like common like theme of it would be to like have a stripper come in, and what are they dressed as? A police officer.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the sexualization of that for the women's side as well, like just the impact it will have on young like girls to go into those industries.
Yeah.
And to like the view that they would have of women in those industries when they're described as sexy nurse. And it's like, really? Really? What about being a nurse is so sexy? But
But like even like for like kids, like costumes or like clothes, like if you see like the boys section, like the costumes look like they're meant to be played on. And then the girls' costume are like sort of like shiny and precious. That like you need to be like seated down all the time. You cannot play with those dresses. You cannot like run around. You cannot like play tag with that. Like, it's just meant to be tight and clean and just like sit down, like look pretty, just be there. Mm-hmm. While the boys have fun with their costumes that are made for having fun.
Yeah.
And then that translates to Halloween too, like again.
Mm.
Like girls have like this like shiny dress that they really had to like take care of, because they're probably more expensive than the boys' costume too, because they're not meant to be played on, and they have to like take care of it and keep them clean so they look pretty all night long and like it lasts as long as possible. And again, like goes back with that, like if you have like the police costume that Robin was describing for like the girl, that's probably not something you go out to your backyard and play like policeman or police girl, you know? You don't play with that. It's like look pretty. So it's like that like diminished the career too, like again from the beginning.
Mm. And as well, the difference in materials used in the costumes. I was reading an article that was saying about how female Halloween costumes are made a lot more from quote-unquote sexy materials. And it was like leather and latex and like silk. And I'm thinking, what like police officer are you going to see this wearing all latex? Like going around. And with those being the materials that are... They're designed to be like bodycon tight, accentuating like the curves of a woman, and like further like playing into the objectification of women in like Halloween. Like if you're going out in like a full latex like police officer's outfit, your body's gonna be accentuated in like what would be like for the male gaze, thing. And I was like, I find that very interesting that sexy isn't just in how the costume's being designed, with how it looks, but also like the materials used in it as well have the same connotations.
Yeah, like you can tell how intentional it was.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That's the thing. Like you can see like how intentional it was from the beginning, from the design, the material, the people in the picture, the name of the costume, like from everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mistake in it at any point.
It's very blatantly put into your face. Yeah. Right there, yeah.
Probably a good time to take a song break. We're halfway through our hour. You're listening to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio 90.1 FM.
I feel like we should have Silo's song.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, I always try to bring Argentinian singers. So this is Iman by Maria Becerra. Hope you like it.
Son caramelo, ver tus ojos, ver el cielo. Ese cuerpito de modelo que me tiene poroso, solo si me toca yo me quemo. Yo me disfruto tu veneno y cada vez se ve más bueno. Yo me lo quito, me toca a mí, me gusta así, me encanta. Me pone a temblar el party cada que me dice mami. Me pone a temblar el party cada que me pego como un imán. Cada que me dice mami, me pone a temblar el party. Cada que me pego como un imán. Tu piel y me enloquece tu forma de ser. El nudito viendo el amanecer. Desde tu boca y más y más y más. Tu piel y me enloquece tu forma de ser. El nudito viendo el amanecer. Desde tu boca, papá.
Welcome back to Intravenous. I am Rebecca.